On the same day that Mike Trout signed a $400 million plus contract over 12 years, the Houston Astros got some work done late last night when they signed Alex Bregman to a 5-year, $100 million extension that'll keep him with the Astros through 2024. On top of that, they also extended reliever Ryan Pressly through 2021 with a 2-year, $17.5 million extension. Alex Bregman, guys, is going to be with the Houston Astros for quite some time. We'll see if he ultimately gets the same kind of contract that Mike Trout got, but it is nice to, at the very least, have an Astros player who seemed a little bit ticked off with the way that he had been treated this offseason in terms of a small pay raise that he got. This is taken care of. You don't have to worry about it now.
It does raise some questions, and I'm glad you mentioned that he was peeved over a few a few hundred thousand dollars that he thought he should have made. And I don't think he would have said that if they'd actually been in ongoing negotiations for this long-term contract.
But the weird thing is, do you guys believe that they would all of a sudden negotiate a $100 million contract in a week?
I don't know.
It's the Breg.
And I guess, what
it's
about
the Breg?
Okay.
He walked into Luno's office with a bat.
How long after the Trout announcement was this? About 12 hours?
A little bit less.
Is there any chance? Is there any chance at all that the Trout contract tipped it over the edge?
I don't think so, because I don't think they're valid comparables. In that Trout is basically what Bregman is doing right now is negotiating the same kind of contract that Mike Trout did 5 years ago. Yeah. So
6 years, $144.5 million. Mike Trout signed with the Angels in 2014 after he also had 2 years of service time with the Angels.
Right. I know it's not a – I know the Trout's current contract isn't a comp.
Yeah.
But in terms of the Astros looking at what might be coming down the line,
the division.
If he's a Trout-like player and that's the kind of contract they'd have to be doling out 3 years from now, did that have any factor in it? I doubt – I mean, the timeline's too tight. I got to think this was already kind of pretty much in place.
I think this was in the works. This is a deal that I don't think anybody in Houston can really argue with. This is an excellent deal. Sometimes your opinion on a contract is, how did you feel when you first heard the news? And I was driving back home last night when I checked my phone in my car, which I probably shouldn't do, and I saw this news, and I was really surprised and very happy that the Astros – locked up Alex Bregman. I did not see it coming this offseason. I think it's a great job by Jeff Luno and Jim Crane.
I still remember where I was when I heard about the Altuve contract.
Where were you?
I was on my couch at home. Nothing exotic. Not a great story or anything.
But I remember
the feeling.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, all right. Win one for the little guy.
The Houston Rockets have won 12 of their last 13 games and 10 of 13 on the road after thumping the Atlanta Hawks 121-105 last night. James Harden had 31 points and 10 assists. He is the first player in NBA history to score 30-plus points against all 29 other teams in the league in a season as his numbers continue to get more and more ridiculous. Clint Capella, a good game. He had a double-double, 26-11. Chris Paul played well, and Daniel House off the bench. My guy, 6-11 from three. And after doing some deep digging, Daniel House, who was averaging 9.6 points per game and was randomly off the Rockets for 2 months due to the weird salary restrictions in the NBA. Guess how many games they lost by a margin of that or less? 5. They would have the number one seed in the Western Conference with Daniel House. That is a very simplistic way of looking at things, but I maintain my position, guys.
Yeah, also the assumption that they would have won all those games.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They would have. Well, here's the other thing, and on a serious note, I mean, if you have Daniel House playing, and especially with the way that he's been playing this season, I imagine you'd be able to give James Harden a little bit more of a load rest this season than you've been able to.
Possibly, even though they play different positions, I guess I can see that from an overall
just from a guard.
If you wouldn't have had to rely that heavily, even if Harden had played the exact same number of minutes but hadn't had so much pressure on him, I'll go with that. I like your second argument better. That if you could have just reduced the load on him a little bit, maybe perhaps if Harden doesn't have a strong playoffs or if he fatigues a little bit or gets injured or something, you can blame that fatigue from earlier in the season. I'm not inclined to overly crush anybody on the Rockets right now for the way they handled Daniel House's contract. Given that, I don't think you can project that he is playing just quite the way he has been. You know what I mean? Am I gonna crush Morey for not realizing how good the guy that he himself brought onto this roster is?
No, you can't do that. You gotta crush him for the offseason. I mean, their offseason is the reason that they're in this situation with the guys that they brought in.
The slow start is everything. The offseason led to the slow start, and then there you have it.
I mean, Daniel House is a guy who's 25, and keep in mind, it's March 20th this morning on a Wednesday. on December 4th, this is somebody, Daniel House, who was available to the entire NBA.
That's true.
And within 6 weeks, he was being offered a three-year fully guaranteed contract. So things have moved very quickly. The good thing right now is this dude looks like he can play, and he will be a part of the playoff rotation.
The Houston Texans have a backup quarterback. They signed A.J. McCarron to a one-year, $3 million deal. Guys, can you really trust a Houston Texans player that came into this city, saw a giant chemical smoke plume over the city, and decided to sign with the team? Is he Texans worthy? Because he's clearly not someone who cares about the environment.
I think they followed my strategy of being sure they flew him into hobby. And then you find a circuitous route around the city to where he wouldn't be able to see that smoke cloud at all. It just looks like maybe mountains off in the distance or something. He could be like, hey, is that a toxic smoke cloud? They're like, no, those are the mountains of North Texas. You're fine. Don't worry about that. Those are our Piney Woods Mountains.
We have strange thunderstorm clouds here in Houston.
Wouldn't it be easier to fly them into bush because it's farther away from the chemical spill?
No, but
fire?
You'd have to cross. You'd have to go under the cloud to get to the stadium at that point. You fly into hobby.
Where's he flying from?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you'd have to almost like fly him through the Gulf of Mexico down south and then back up like from Corpus up north. I wonder if they routed him through Corpus.
Guys, you have
if they flew from Corpus, he'd take the straight in approach to hobby.
Okay.
And he might never see the toxic cloud.
Well, obviously, they put a bag over his head like he was a person that was being escorted to a terrorist's lair. And that's how they got him to sign with the Houston Texans. That also means Catherine Webb is coming to town, a city with Catherine Webb and Kate Upton. How about that? To wrap up your headlines, Kyler Murray met with the Arizona Cardinals, which was something that people weren't 100% sure would happen, given that they did not go to his pro day. So he met with Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Kime, the GM of the Cardinals, yesterday. And shout out to Prairie View A&M for at least making the round of 68 in the NCAA tournament, but they lost to Farley Dickinson 82-76.
Barely.
The part that's interesting to me about Kyler Murray visiting the Cardinals is this. This is how it relates to Houston. A couple years ago, the Cleveland Browns basically paid $20 million to get a second round pick, which they turned into Chubb, right? And
Nick Chubb, yep.
Into Nick Chubb. So they brought Brock Osweiler onto the roster basically to also get the second round pick that came along with it. They paid Brock $16 million, $18
million? 16.
$16 million. So they paid $16 million for a second round pick. Teams right now are in a position where they could purchase a guy who was taken in the first round last year in Josh Rosen. You could purchase a first-round quarterback for his guaranteed salary of about $6 million.
Yes.
$6 million, and you can have a first-round quarterback under control for the next several years. This is going to get interesting.
It's such a unique opportunity that you can make the arguments, as some NFL writers have, that if Josh Rosen was available for a third-round pick, and I don't think he is, but if he was, that literally every team in the NFL should make that trade.
Oh, no matter who you are.
No matter who
your quarterback is.
Exactly, because
so
it's such
no
a value.
That some of these early GMs that said they thought they'd get a third-round pick for Josh Rosen.
Ridiculous.
I mean, unless Josh Rosen was a complete loser in Arizona and stories of it have leaked, and we haven't heard any of those stories. Like, I don't think he was a complete loser. He'll get at least a second-rounder.
I think definitely. And when I think about this whole story, the Kyler Murray private workout with Arizona, I mean, here's what it feels like. It feels right now like Murray will be the number one pick, and they're going to trade Rosen at some point. I think more likely closer to the NFL draft than right now, but that's what I expect.
Possibly during it.
During it. That wouldn't shock me either. Now, you'd be probably better off doing it before it was really obvious you were taking Kyler Murray, because then you could at least make it seem like maybe there's an actual chance that you're not going to do it. But that's what it feels like to me, that Murray will be the number one overall pick.
Big question is, will Stephen A. Smith once again, now that Josh Rosen is in the discussion, is Stephen A. Smith going to double down on his assertion last year that New York is the best place for Josh Rosen because of the Jewish population there? To which Josh Rosen said, like, I mean, I'm kind of Jewish, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, technically I am. Okay.
Let Stephen A. be Stephen A.
Yeah.
We have some great Stephen A. audio to get to a little bit later today. Stephen A., man, that guy's not on top of things.
Yes. Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Wednesday on Sports Radio 610. There's something happening right now, and I would be shocked if almost anybody in the audience knew that this is actually happening. Do you guys know that right now, second?
Let me guess, Evan, for her.
Okay, guess.
You're saying I don't know. What's the major topic?
It's baseball.
Okay. Is it involving an Astros player?
It is not involving the Astros player.
Is it when, I don't know, I don't have a clue.
Is it involving me being suicidal over the fact that Mike Trout's making like $69,000 an hour?
Nope, but it's actually related to that. Right now, right this second, there is a baseball game being played that counts in the standings.
What?
Right now, there is an opening day. In Asia, the Mariners right now are playing the A's, and the A's are up 9-4, and I don't think anybody has any idea about it.
My God. Can you imagine those guys, too?
Think about that.
Baseball's so dumb.
That's at 4:47 a.m. on their body clock. Oh.
Yes.
Can you imagine trying to hit a baseball? Okay, first off, imagine hitting a baseball. Like, okay. Imagine hitting a baseball at noon when you're hopped up on amphetamines and how hard that would be. And then now try imagine doing it at 4:47 a.m. by your body clock.
Maybe they got to Japan a little bit early to switch that, I guess.
The hell. Oh, my gosh.
But I forgot
about that. They've been doing this for a while.
Yes. The Mariners right now are up 9-4, end of 6. The reason I bring this
why
up.
Why didn't they tell anybody?
Don't tell our listeners. They're going to go watch it now on television.
I don't think that they will. I don't think it's a big risk. But to Paul's point, yes, the reason why I brought it up as a surprise topic on the air is because I don't think anybody knew that baseball was starting a series in Japan today. Their marketing is unbelievably horrific. It's incredible how bad their marketing is.
Yeah,
nobody knew about this.
I bet they know about it in Japan. It's a big deal over there.
In Japan, sure.
Maybe Major League Baseball is trying to kind of put the kibosh on this because it detracts from the quote-unquote real opening day, which is now a sham opening day.
Yeah. Weird. I mean,
I think that's really what it is. I think they genuinely, opening day is such a huge deal that they would prefer not to take the shine off of it at all. So Major League Baseball doesn't really want you to know about this.
So they're gonna play games quietly in secret in Japan.
This is like running off to elope before you actually get married or something and then keeping it a secret from everybody.
It's moronic. I mean, the NFL, they start off on a Thursday. Thursday's a little bit of an awkward night. It's a little bit difficult to watch a game on a Thursday, but it's still a Thursday. You know about it well in advance. Like, we're still waiting to figure out what that first matchup of the season is going to be. We're going to hear about it basically in April, and I'm finding out about the first game of the MLB season is taking place right now.
It's really strange. Which it kind of dovetails into this right here. Mike, Seth, and Paul, on a Wednesday morning, Mike Trout gets the big contract, 12 years and $430 million. I know Sean Pendergast felt like it was a crazy deal. I think it makes all the sense in the world for the Angels to pay Mike Trout this money. Yeah, he'll be paid through age 40, but they're paying him right now. He's 27 years old. He is the modern-day version of Mickey Mantle. He's been worth a ton to the team now. He will be worth a ton to the in the future. He's a great hitter, base runner. He's a good fielder. I mean, he's everything that you would want if you want to pay this kind of money to a guy.
I frankly see all these think pieces about, is it really worth it? Is he worth this money? And there's some that'll say he isn't. There's some that'll compare him to, you know, A-Rod's contract adjusted for inflation. It looks like Trout's a bargain for the performance he's already given you at this age. I don't even, like, honestly, and when you asked me whether it was worth this money or not, I don't even think about the actual chance of winning a championship or anything. I think about simply the dollars and cents. Mike, I did baseball research yesterday. You know what I did? I went back and I looked at the Angels attendance figures over the last 20 years, or over the last, during this century.
And you shocked me with what you found, Seth.
Since 2003, they've never been lower than 7th in attendance.
Yep.
They've usually been about 5th in attendance, 5th or 6th, every now and then 7th in attendance. This is a franchise that does remarkably well, despite their reputation for not having any future or chance. And Mike Trout has been a part of that for the last several years, where he's part of the culture of Los Angeles baseball in that franchise. And in baseball, where you've got a full NBA season's worth of home games every year, this is where, when people talk about how baseball is struggling, a lot of times they don't even know what they're talking about. Baseball is not struggling financially right now. They're worried about the future because young people aren't watching it as much as they're watching other sports. But baseball is thriving. So I see some of these people, like Jason McIntyre, our old host now. What's his name? That's now in Washington, D.C.
I unfollowed him. It's been great.
I think they talk about the Angels like it's a broke organization. This is a dumb move or something. Like, I own it. This is strictly financially a smart move. Mike Trout, they'll make more money off of Mike Trout and this contract than they would have if Mike Trout had left. Because no matter whether they win or not, people love Mike Trout in Los Angeles, and they're going to come watch Mike Trout play baseball.
Mike Trout keeps people coming, and it's interesting because the Angels haven't made the playoffs since 2014, and they've been basically a 500 or below 500 baseball team. They've been a below 500 baseball team the last 3 years, and they've been about a 500 baseball team over the last 4 years. Now, I talked to a friend of mine in Los Angeles because, Seth, when you sent that to me, I really was shocked because when I think of the Los Angeles Angels compared to the Los Angeles Dodgers in LA, I figure, okay, there's got to be a giant comparative in terms of like popularity difference between the two of them. But apparently, like Orange County and Southern California, there's a big attachment to the Angels, which I was surprised by. Well, those attendance numbers aren't very impressive.
But there's a huge difference between the Dodgers and everybody else in baseball. The Dodgers are just a machine in terms of getting. I think they're like 5,000 more per game than even the Yankees.
Correct.
Like the Dodgers are. So if you stack them up next to the Dodgers, yeah, it does look like they're playing second fiddle because they are. But they're still extremely successful compared to the rest of Major League Baseball. Yeah. And they've got that. Look, you've got a TV deal in the second biggest market in the country. Like it's a big deal.
Here's what this is like to localize this to the Texans, because we got this text from Kyle at 713-572-4610. The Angels with Mike Trout, one playoff appearance, zero wins. You know what this would be like? Remember when J.J. Watt won Defensive Player of the Year the first time in 2012, and then he was even better the next year, but he didn't win because the team went 2-14? This would be like if the Texans continued to mire along, being like 6-10, 7-9, but Watt was putting up the same kind of seasons that he was in 2012, 2013, 2014. Would anybody say if they re-sign him to the equivalent contract, it's not worth it? Of course not, because it's not that player's fault that the team is not winning games.
That's where I don't understand, because, well, Kyle, our listener, says the Angels with Mike Trout, one playoff appearance, zero playoff wins, and that's zero games won. But I guess the question is, Are people blaming Mike Trout for that?
Laughable.
Is this somehow? I that's what I don't understand. So is the argument, well, no, you should not pay Mike Trout and have even less of a chance of winning? Maybe I'm dim. Maybe I don't understand.
I think you're right.
I don't understand. Cause it's baseball. Let's remember, it's baseball. It's not like they have to fit Mike Trout under the salary cap and they'll never be able to pay anybody else. They've still got plenty of room under the luxury tax to pay other people. So it's not like Mike Trout is a problem. It's not like you have to pay your quarterback and then you can't fill out the rest of your roster. They can pay Mike Trout and actually fill in another roster around him. Now you could say maybe Mike Trout should have waited to go somewhere else more competitive. Okay, fine. I'm taking the money.
Yeah, I take the money too. $430 million, no matter what the taxes are in California, I still want to take it. Here's what people should be focusing on, because really, the Angels, what they did with Mike Trout is smart. You want to keep this guy as long as you possibly can. The big problem for the Angels is that over the next 3 years, you are paying $28 million, $29 million, and $30 million to Albert Pujols. So
debacle.
Mike Trout is basically taking up 17% of your payroll. Okay, Albert Pujols is taking up basically another 17 to 18 to 19% of your payroll. That's the big problem right now, is that you have two contracts like this, and one of those guys is not going to be playing anywhere close to the way that Mike Trout will be playing. So that's what sucks for the Angels. They better find a way to get some good draft picks over the next couple of seasons and stock up the same way that the Astros have. Maybe they go through a tank job of sorts with Mike Trout over the next 3 years, because otherwise they're not going to be competing with the Astros anytime soon.